Gemara continues to dash in the pasuk of the Shavuos after having dealt with the three Shavuos of the interrelationship between the Jews and the Umos HaOlam, and then afterwards the other three Shavuos about the relation to the Kate and the Sod HaYibur, which seems to be the Sod, whatever the Sod may be, whether it's Sod HaYibur or Sod Tamei HaTorah. In other words, it's our relation towards secret matters, the case in particular, and other secrets as well. And the Gemara says, so the Gemara is now dashing the words b'tzva'os or b'aylos ha'sadeh in that pasuk. B'tzva'os or b'aylos ha'sadeh, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lama Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Im atem mekayim yunis ha'shvua mutav, v'im lav, ani matir es b'tzarchem k'tzva'os or b'aylos ha'sadeh. The punishment for not keeping the shvua is our loss. I don't know what to say about this. Apparently, the maintenance of the Jewish nation in Golos is the keeping of these shvuos. The insulation, the protection, comes from maintaining the stable relationship and lack of relationship with Umos HaOlam, and maintenance of proper relation to the secrets of the Jewish nation, the various sodas. Otherwise, we can't make it. The Lashon Ani Matiris B'Sachem Kitzvaos U'Chaylos HaSadeh is implies that this is not a punishment. This is a kind of a state of nature. When Arnold Toynbee said that the Jews are a fossil of history, meaning that they don't fit in, they're basically left over, and they're hanging around, but they're really from a different time and don't belong anymore, and that they should have passed on like so many other nations and civilizations have. A point that was debated famously by Yaakov Herzog when he was Israeli ambassador to Canada. I think should be understood as both true and not true. It's not true in the sense that we are dead material even today, and don't have what to contribute to the world. That's the opposite of the truth. We're very much at the center and at the essence. But the notion that we shouldn't be around by proper scientific investigation, as much as that can be done in history, I think that's very much in line with the Midrash. This one in particular. That there's something unnatural about our continuity. But it's not a fossilized continuity. It would be, it's one thing to find a dinosaur bone, and it's another thing to find a dinosaur. Yes, we're from another era. We're something from beyond. But we're here, And we're part and parcel of everything that's going on a day-to-day basis. That we still are here, though, is miraculous. So that, as opposed to, I mean, this can be said about many other mamarim, including psukim, but here the lashon is very pointing in that direction. Hashem is matir. The hunters are out to get us, like the hunters are out to get the wild game. That's what they're out to get. We are the wild game that they're out to get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put an iser, so to speak, a prevention of the possibility of our being done away with, in order for them to get tzayid, la'sadeh, mi'asadeh. The hunter is there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to punish us in order for them to get us. All he has to do is remove the protection. Then we find out that we have no natural zchut kiyum. We only need supernatural zchut kiyum. They don't like us, and they don't want us around, and they do it. They do what they want to do. The notion of the comparison to the Tzvaot and the Ayilot HaSadeh, Tzvaot is the plural of the word Tzvi, is expressive of the Jewish existence within a universal context. You know, men eat animals, by and large, with the exceptions of the sheep and buffalo, who can't handle what they serve here. And others as well, on all sorts of grounds. But we usually eat the animals that we raise, cows, sheep, birds, fish is, I'm not talking about right now, even fish are raised, as you well know, but not always. I'd say the great majority of what all animals, even fish that many eat, is not wild, but is designated. And this is true since anyone can remember or know. And the Torah mentions Hevel as a shepherd, and although it wasn't for the purpose of eating meat, it was apparently for the purpose of getting clothing and milk. But still, the notion of I forget the English word, husbandry, is as ancient as we are, and that's by and large the basar that we eat. We have a certain right over it, in a strange way. I mean, it's either mutzer or aser, you know. But the morality of the right is that these chickens and these sheep would not really exist if men weren't trying so hard to bring them into existence. If men would stop raising chickens, the number of chickens, you would think after we're not shechting them, so maybe there would be a lot. No, the opposite would happen. They would fall by the wayside. We worked so hard to raise them in such tremendous quantities that those who want, I mean, think of how much, I mean, you know, it's not nice to think sometimes, but how many chickens a person who eats meat on a regular basis consumes over the course of a year. Well, of course, of a lifetime, unusual. And the same is true of, the bigger animals. It takes longer to get to, but there are so many of them because we're raising them. And, an animal like a camel, which is not commonly eaten in the world today, and it's not kosher either, are subject to extinction concern, at least, there doesn't seem to be as much interest in by men of bringing them about, and that becomes a problem. Rav Kook explains that the mitzvah of Kisui Adam doesn't apply to behemoth, because we have a right. We raised them for this. He doesn't relate to the issue of chickens. I don't know, apparently birds are perceived as not being grown by men. I mean, chickens are a lot easier to get hold of than a lot of other birds. But it's after the animals of flight, which are the chayot and the osot, which biologically have much less to do with each other than, say, the chayot and the behemot, they're the ones that we have to be mechaseh their dan, because there's a certain shame in our taking advantage of them, in that they're free, born to be free, so to speak. They're not domesticated, and yet we go out and hunt them, which we're allowed to do, and trap them and slaughter them and eat them. So there's a good reason why. I mean, I don't know what that good reason is 100%, but why don't they raise deer, for example? Well, they, we raise cows, we raise, why don't we raise deer? What?
I think they started to have deer farm in the States now.
Oh yeah? How big is it?
It's growing. There's reason so much demand for deer, so that they're starting to produce them.
Do they raise them like they're raising cows and sheep? Or do they have this big reserve where they run around? Because you can't do it. You can't do it. You put those deer in a pen, nothing's going to happen. They probably won't even reproduce at all. Certainly not in the kind of numbers that you would want them to make something profitable. The issue of what's a chaya and what's a behema is not an accident of man's choice, that he decided to raise sheep and didn't decide to raise deer. Sheep are domestic. They're need time for domestication. Deer are not. We bother to catch them, mishach them, is the chiv kisei adam. It's not ours, so easy to take advantage of. Cholov is mutar, we know lefachot Yitzchak Avinu wasn't a vegetarian. That which we have very documented. But he ate things that weren't karbanot, and it wasn't just a question of this, that, or the other thing. He probably on a very regular basis. This is the goyim regarding Jewish people in their effort to catch us, so to speak. The notion of sheep to slaughter, which a phrase difficult to listen to regarding what happened 55 years ago, it's certainly not what's being described in Agumara. And even if technically it may seem that way, after you debase and degrade and dehumanize someone to the point that the Nazis did, uh, in our essence, mitzvot and ilot hasadeh. We're separate from them. We belong in a nature reserve. It doesn't mean they can't come and watch us and imitate us and learn from us. And we should learn from the tzvi also. The animals that we're told to imitate are chayot, not behemot. Havirotzka tzvi v'gibor kari. The ari is not kosher, but the tzvi is. But we learn from the tzvi. Havirotzka tzvi. Kalkanesha, another non-kosher bird. It's the free animals that we're told to imitate, not the domesticated ones. Because the Jewish people are not subject to the non-Jews, in essence. We could be caught. Like a tzvi could be caught. And they are quite interested in catching us. And this may be what they do in their spare time when they don't have to catch each other. But we're not sheep to slaughter. We're tzvaot v'ailot hasadeh. You need a bigger matir. There's a longness behind this that I'm not on top of, and it answers quite a number of questions. But the fact that you can make a bracha on shechita and it'll take its chal on the kisi adam as well is indicative of the notion that even though the animal is kosher without kisi adam, it's not ma'akev in the heter. It is still part of it when it does take place. And our existence in the world is meant to be a separate one. Kitzvot al kailot hasadeh. And in fact, in order for us to exist properly, we need a nature reserve. The notion of the ghetto has certainly been good for the Jewish people, ultimately, even if it made it easy for them to, so to speak, get at us and to identify us. But what it specifically did was separate us, because we are separate. Because we're not like a sheep in the backyard. We're like the deer that roam wild, that klapan, and that they're certainly moving out of their realm in their efforts to attack us and kill us. We're not subject to them. We're something else. We're very free. We run wild. Wild not in the negative sense, but in the positive, free sense. We have what we're supposed to be doing. Our role in the spiritual ecology of the world is quite central, and we do our job better or worse, usually worse, unfortunately, but it goes on nonetheless. And the heter is We're not far from them, but there's a separation, and the rules are defined by the shuos as described above, the gimel shuos relating the Jews to the Goyim, and the gimel shuos of the secrecy of our clannishness, so to speak, and not our clannishness, but whatever it is, the kates and the sod, whatever that sod may be. That's how we maintain our separation. And if not, then if we don't, then we're subjecting ourselves to the depravity of the hunters. then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is matir arbasar kitzvaot kaelot asadeh, which are hefker by and large. You know, you can't go into someone else's house to take his sheep, but you can go into the forest to kill a deer. It's assumed to belong to nobody. You don't have to ask any questions. We're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu realm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's realm. But if we don't maintain the kind of distances and separations that we have to, then we're lost. It's very difficult and probably wrong to make too much practical historical analysis of what took place, particularly in the last century, and these Shavuot. The tendency is to turn it in the direction of those who are interpreting it, you know, in terms of their a priori views, so that Kimu Shulos Lama Achat Shulala Yal Yisrael B'Choma, and we've certainly been accused by our own of being in violation of this in causing what happened, although it is downright strange that if that were the case, as Dafka those who didn't go to Eretz Israel were the focus of this punishment or of this attack, while those who did come to Eretz Israel were saved. Lachash is Shvi'at Hashem Shlo Yimidu B'Umos HaOlam. Don't know exactly where that violation might have taken place, not aware of any such merit within the context of Golus. Separate from Eliyahu Yisrael B'Chom. Lachash is Shvi'at Hashem Shlo Yimidu B'Umos HaOlam. So Yishtadu B'Hem Yisrael Yosu Midai. That's certainly not our Shvi'at, it's their Shvi'at. Lady, Sheshvus Halalu Lama. And initially, Galu is a case. No one's in Gala anything in any significant way. This also, I believe, has been used by those who claim that those who were in the state in Europe were being Rachek to case, given the opportunities to come to Eretz Yisrael and not taken advantage of. I don't think we gain much by interpreting, again, the historical facts in light of these shulas. Either in the first way or in the second way, either. And again, one can hardly say that the Jews in America or Western Europe are less menachik the case than the Jews in Europe. And they, of course, came out unscathed. So the dachnu is okay. Getting back to the old. Together with Shlo Yai and Yisrael B'Chol, Shlo Yai was the evil. That's all we know. But Rav Lozer's Imra here should be taken in its own right, in our comparison to Tzvaot or Ailot Asadeh, and the understanding that there's a natural protection of if they stay in their realm, and the Tzvaot and Ailot Asadeh don't. Move in on Times Square, then the separate realms are maintained. Once a deer standing in a major intersection is going to be hit, and it has to be understood. Okay.